In 2011, the San Francisco Symphony celebrates its 100th season. Since 1925, the orchestra has been making recordings. I'm Scott Fogelsong, a contributing writer and pre-concert lecturer here at the Symphony. For some years now, I've been exploring the Symphony's long and distinguished history and recorded sound, a vast treasure of music preserved in commercial recordings, in radio broadcasts, and from the Symphony's own archives. I invite you to join me in these podcasts as I share some of my favorite moments drawn from 85 years of great recordings by the musicians of the San Francisco Symphony. On this podcast, we'll listen to some of the Symphony's first chair players over the years, those musicians who perform the solo passages and even sometimes stand in front of the orchestra for a concerto. There have been many principals over the years, and obviously I can't highlight them all, or cover every instrument in the orchestra for that matter. I apologize in advance if any of your favorites wind up missing in action. I suppose I could be predictable and start with the concertmasters, but I'm going to be contrary and start with the horn section. Alfred Hertz conducted the symphony from 1915 through 1930. He was blessed with an exceptional French horn section, headed up by Principal Walter Hornig, whom Henry Hadley had selected as the symphony's very first principal horn back in 1911. And Hornig remained principal until 1930, with one short break in 1913. Hornig's lovely tone is on full display in this 1927 Victor recording of selections from Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night's Dream, conducted by Alfred Hertz. He's partnered by Carl Findiason in the horn duet that opens the nocturne. Pretty much the entire horn section is on display in Carl Maria von Weber's Overture to Der Freischütz, also recorded in 1927. In addition to Hornig and Findiason, you hear Paul Roth and Charles Treiner, who was himself to serve as principal for a single season. Alfred Hertz conducts, of course. During Pierre Monteux's tenure from 1935 to 1952, it took a while for the principal horn position to settle down. We hear Pierre Lambert in Monteux's 1941 RCA recording of the Franck Symphony in D minor. In a lyrical passage near the beginning of the second movement, the horn is doubled by the clarinet, a risky proposition given the different intonation characteristics of the two instruments. Lambert is joined by principal clarinetist Rudolf Schmidt. It's painfully obvious that Lambert was having trouble with his part, but Monteux let it stand on the final recording anyway. Thank you. Attilio De Palma was principal during the 1941-1942 season, but left to serve in the Navy band during the war. The symphony remained without an established principal horn until 1946, when the dashing William Sabatini took the position. It's Sabatini who plays the horn solo in Monteux's 1950 remake of the Franck, and Sabatini sails right through it with his usual elan. I'm not positive about the clarinetist, but the odds are that it's Friolan Bibbins. Among the symphony's many fine principal trombonists, we find Mark Lawrence, a rounded musician who is also one of today's most sought-after teachers. Lawrence served as principal from 1974 until his retirement in 2007. Mark performed Paul Creston's Fantasy for Trombone and Orchestra under Edelhard's leadership in 1984. We hear him live in the concert of October 12, 1984. The symphony has been gifted with many fine principal trumpets, from the Russian-born Vladimir Drucker, who can be heard on Alfred Hertz's many RCA recordings, through Monteux's Charles Bubb, to Donald Reinberg, who played as principal under Enrique Horda, Josef Krips, Seiji Ozawa, and Edo DeVart, remaining in the trumpet section with Maestro Herbert Blumstedt until his retirement at the end of the 1994-1995 season. Beginning in 1980, Glenn Fishthall served as principal. In that capacity, he gave us a bluesy solo on the 1998 RCA recording of George Gershwin's An American in Paris, with Michael Tilson Thomas conducting. Fishthall proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that you don't have to be a jazz musician to make that trumpet wail. Now, on to the oboe. I have a nifty vehicle for presenting some of the symphony's principal oboists by way of the third movement of the Brahms Second Symphony. We're going to hear the oboe solo at the beginning of that movement as it has been recorded down the years. Merrill Remington started with Monteux back in the early 1940s and was still in place as late as the 1960s with Maestro Josef Krips. In that capacity, he left us no fewer than three recordings of that third movement solo. Remington's pungent tone was one of the abiding characteristics of the San Francisco Symphony throughout all the years of his career. First up, he plays the 1945 RCA recording with Pierre Monteux conducting. ¶¶ When Monteux re-recorded the Brahms in 1951, now on a hi-fi LP, Remington was there again for the solo. We have a home-taped dub of a live KKHI broadcast of December the 4th, 1964, with Maestro Joseph Cripps conducting. Merrill Remington was nearing the end of his long service. That pungent tone was still there, but you can hear that his technique had deteriorated somewhat. Merrill Remington was followed by Jean-Louis Leroux, who served as principal from 1965 through 1970. Here he plays the Brahms, this time with Hans Schmidt Eserstedt guest conducting on a KKHI broadcast of February the 11th, 1966. Mark Lifshey joined the symphony in 1965 after a long stint as principal of the Cleveland Orchestra under George Zell. At first, he served as co-principal with Jean-Louis Leroux under Joseph Cripps, then became principal as Seiji Ozawa took up the baton in 1970. He remained principal oboe until his retirement in 1986. Mark was a gentle and friendly man, loved by his colleagues and students alike, and a whale of an oboist. Here he plays that same solo in the Brahms Second on May 11, 1973, with Seiji Ozawa conducting. Mark Lifshey left a very big pair of shoes to fill, but the symphony's current principal, Bill Bennett, is most indubitably up to the task. A leading teacher, as well as an orchestra player, Bennett's playing has graced the orchestra since 1986. In 1992, he recorded John Harbison's Oboe Concerto, written specifically for him, with Herbert Blomstedt conducting the symphony on a Decca album. Here's a bit of the first movement. in a passage that calls on the oboe to play with the slippy-slidey freedom of a blues singer. The symphony's principal clarinetists have been a fascinating bunch. I have another nifty vehicle for them, thanks to the clarinet solo that Hector Berlioz provided in the Scene in the Country movement of his 1830 Symphonie Fantastique. The San Francisco Symphony has made 4 commercial recordings of the Berlioz, each with a different principal clarinetist playing that third movement solo. We began in 1945. With Rudolf Schmidt playing and Pierre Monteux conducting on RCA DM994, a 5-disc, 78 RPM album. Now to 1950. Still Monteux on the podium on RCA Red Seal LM1131, an early hi-fi LP. Freelan Bibbins plays the solo. Fast forward to 1998. We're still on RCA Red Seal, but now we're digital, and Michael Tilson Thomas is conducting, with longtime and beloved principal David Breeden taking the solo. One more jump, and now it's 2009. No more RCA. This one's on SFS Media, the symphony's in-house record label. The conductor is Michael Tilson Thomas again. Now the clarinetist is Carrie Bell, whose exquisite playing graces the symphony to this day. Now let's consider the flute. Pierre Malta appointed the 18-year-old Paul Renzi as principal flute in 1944. Except for a hiatus between 1948 and 1957, part of which time he sat principal flute for Toscanini's NBC Symphony, Renzi remained in the San Francisco Symphony until his retirement in 2004. He played 51 seasons all told, and he played them all beautifully. Here he is at age 20, joined by flutist Merrill Jordan and harpist Virginia Morgan in a 1946 broadcast of La Flûte en Égypte from Berlioz's L'Enfance du Christ, with Pierre Malta conducting. Jump forward nearly 40 years, and here's Renzi enchanting his audience with the Forêt Pavane, Ado de Vart conducting, in a live concert of January the 7th, 1984. Renzi was a tough act to follow, but current principal Timothy Day fills the role with distinction. We hear him and associate principal Robin McKee in a scintillating performance of the first movement of Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 4, live on November 19, 2009, with Michael Tilson Thomas conducting. Now, let's talk strings. The symphony's principal string players have been a distinguished bunch ever since the days of Alfred Hertz's concertmaster, the legendary Louis Persinger, who was, among other things, Yehudi Menuhin's first teacher. Allow me to introduce you to a few of those stellar musicians. During Pierre Monteux's tenure, the symphony was gifted with the Blinder brothers, concertmaster Noam Blinder and principal cellist Boris Blinder. It's only right and proper that they would play the Brahms Double Concerto together, with Malta conducting, heard here in a broadcast of the first movement from December the 7th, 1947. Thank you. Noam Blender retired in 1957. His successor was Frank Hauser. Then, in 1964, Joseph Cripps appointed Jacob Krachmalnik, formerly of both the Cleveland and Philadelphia orchestras, as concertmaster. Krachmalnik would never be a candidate for the Miss Congeniality Award, but he was a dazzling violinist. We hear him in the third movement of the Mozart G major violin concerto K216 with Joseph Cripps conducting from a broadcast of January 26, 1966. Krachmalnik was followed by the esteemed violinist Stuart Kanin, who served as concertmaster from 1970 under Seiji Ozawa and remained so with Edo de Vart until the symphonies moved to Davie Symphony Hall in 1980. Here's Kanin playing the finale of the Beethoven Violin Concerto, with Ozawa conducting, live on December 19, 1975. Raymond Kobler became concertmaster upon the symphony's move to Davie Symphony Hall. He served for 18 seasons under three conductors, Edo de Vart, Herbert Blumstedt, and Michael Tilson Thomas. Kobler retired at the end of the 1997-98 season. He is an elegant and precise player. We hear him in de Vart's 1981 Philips recording of the Mahler Fourth Symphony. The second movement, a quasi-scherzo marked to be played, quote, without haste, unquote. The first violin takes an extended solo, characterized by non-standard tuning of the strings. The movement opens with a solo from principal horn David Krabiel. He's joined by David Breeden on clarinet and Stephen Paulson on bassoon. I'll point them out as we go. Here's Stephen Paulson, bassoon. And here's David Breeden, clarinet. Alexander Baranchik became the symphony's concertmaster in 2001, after 12 years as leader of the London Symphony Orchestra. Sasha is a player of warmth, style, and vivid character, all of which is brought superbly to bear in the SFS Media album of the Mahler Fourth, part of the symphony's complete Mahler series, with Michael Tilson Thomas conducting. It was recorded in 2003 and released the following year. In the second movement, then-acting principal Robert Ward plays the opening horn solo, while David Breeden and Stephen Paulson again take the solos on clarinet and bassoon, respectively. MTT has a somewhat different take than DeVart on Mahler's instruction without haste. The movement still moves along carefully, but in this performance, you'll rather wonder if they aren't all up to something. This has proven to be a long podcast, and believe me, I could keep going. Talk about your basic embarrassment of riches. But it's high time to sum up. Today's San Francisco Symphony may be an army of generals, to borrow Charles Burney's description of the 18th century Mannheim Court Orchestra. But these generals work together in a shared commitment to fine music making. That commitment is abundantly on display in this live concert recording of Claude Debussy's Première Rhapsody for clarinet and orchestra. Debussy published his orchestral version of the Rhapsody in 1911, the same year as the San Francisco Symphony was founded. So, the Rhapsody is celebrating its centennial right along with the symphony. I rather wonder what Debussy would think of this performance. But I'll bet he would be just as thrilled as we all were on the evening of October 3, 2010, when principal clarinetist Carrie Bell, conductor Michael Tilson Thomas, and the radiant San Francisco Symphony conjured up pure musical enchantment. on the final podcast of the series. We'll hear different approaches to individual compositions over the years as we sweep over the 85-year recorded history of the San Francisco Symphony.